The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
On Rosh Hashanah, which is the first day of Tishrei, was the sixth day of the creation of the world, because it was on that day that man was created. The Torah tells us in Bereishis, Beis Posuk Yud Ches, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Leitev Hayesa Odom Levadi, that the Lord God said on the day of the creation, it is not good for a man to be by himself. So I will make for him a helpmate for him. The Torah doesn't tell us why it was not good for a man to be alone. Rashi brings a Medrash Rabba, Shelayemru shtei rishuyis hein HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'elyonim yochid ve'ein leizug v'zeh betachteinim ve'ein leizug. In order that people should not say that there are two kings in the world, the Almighty who lives on high, he is alone, he is a king. And man who also is alone is also a king, he is the king betachtonim of the physical world, of the lower world. Therefore, Leitov Hayesa Odom Levado, it is not good for a man to be alone. Asele Ezer Kenegdai, I will make for him a wife, a helpmate. Now this seems to be something which needs explanation. Why was it not good for a man to be alone? Why would people think that the Almighty is a king and man is a king? Now that he has a wife, people will not think this. The Gur Aryeh explains, it's a very deep concept. A king is always one. You never find two people sharing the same crown. The fact is, the Gemara tells us, Ein shtei malochim mishtamshim b'keser echod. Two kings cannot share the same crown. If they do, this is a beetle to the malchus. This destroys kingship. Therefore, the king is always alone, and he is a singular person, a singular force in the nation. The reason for this is because if he shares his crown with a partner, then no longer is he the king totally. No longer is he perfect. Because from the fact that he must share with someone else, he must have partnership with someone else, this means that he is not complete by himself. If he would be complete and perfect by himself, then it would be redundant and irrelevant to have a partner. From the fact that he has a partner, this is a sign that he's not totally independent, not totally self-reliant, but rather has a need for other forces also, and therefore, in essence, he is lacking. And then he wouldn't be the king. The king is someone who is over everyone else. And if man lived alone, this would be a sign that he is perfect. He needs no one else. He shares with no one else. He is totally independent and self-reliant. So people would come to believe, "Shtei Rishuyos Ba'olam," there are two kings in the world. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'Elyonim, the Almighty on high, and man B'Tachtonim, man is a king in this world. And this is not true. Because the only Echad, the only one that is a true, singular individual is the Almighty. And this is why, how we declare in the Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that He is one. He shares His throne with no one. He needs no one. Because He is above everything else in the world. Like the Rambam writes, that the Ahdusai and the Amitosai, the true oneness, is only found by the Almighty. The entire world is dependent on Him, and He is dependent on no one. If the entire world would disappear, it would not affect the Almighty. If we could assume that the Almighty would disappear, then everything would have disappeared with Him. For everything is dependent on the Almighty, and He is dependent on no one else, or on nothing else. This is what the Rambam writes. This is the concept of Echad, of one who shares with no one, who needs no one, totally self-reliant, totally perfect. And now we understand what the Torah is telling us. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Leitev heyeis ha'adam levado. It is not good for a man to be alone. Because man does not have perfection alone. He is imperfect. And if he'll be alone, people will say then there are two rulers in the world. One in the heavens and one on the earth. Therefore, es alei ezer kinegdo. I will make for him a mate. They will share together. And this will be a sign that man is not a king like the Almighty, but also imperfect, reliant, independent, has other needs. And then it will be tov. Then it will be good. I perhaps then we should ask the question, so why wasn't man immediately created together with woman? Like all other creations were created together with their ben zugay, with their mate. Because man is also a king. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave from himself Kodesh Baruch Hu gave from himself his kingship to man. The Almighty, when he created the world, he said, I will be king Be'elyonim, in the heavens, and I designate man to be king B'tachtonim, over the earth. This is why man was created at the end of all of the creations. Because all of the creations were slowly coming to their higher levels of perfection, and the final perfection of creation was man. This is why all creations were created to walk on all fours, and man was created to walk upright. Because he was designated to be the king of the earth. So since he is a king, therefore he was not created together with his mate immediately. He was created as a single entity. But for him to remain as a single entity, this Torah said, lo tov, it's not good. Because then man might think that he is a single entity. He is perfect in himself. And if he's perfect in himself, people will come to say there are two kings in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu is alone in the heavens and man is alone on the earth. Kodesh Baruch Hu rules and man rules. Therefore I shall make for himself a mate. When all of the creations were created, they were created immediately together, because each one only represented a faction. Man represented more than that. But nevertheless, he also is only a faction. This is the interpretation of the Medrash which Rashi brings. From here we learn a very important principle. From here we can have an insight into the very core of creation of man. What is his personality? What is his entity? He was created not as a perfect being. Even though the Almighty's deeds and the Almighty's actions are perfect, but with intent he created man as an imperfect being. He created him with imperfections, with shortcomings, lacking, and the task of man is to constantly strive to further perfect himself, to constantly strive to bring more shlemus into himself. This is the essence of man in his life. When a person dies, then no longer is he imperfect. No longer is there a need. No longer is there a yearning. No longer does he strive. But when man is alive, his very nature is that he's imperfect and he constantly strives to complete himself. And the kingship of the Almighty he gave to man, and he gave it to man and woman together, whether they were a melech and a malko, a king and a queen, and they shared in it. And this was a declaration that man in his own right is imperfect. This is the way he was created. And he seeks his perfection. And this is his task in the world. They perfect each other, and they seek their total perfection in their source, which is the Almighty himself. This means that the life of man, the personality of man, is similar to one who is thirsty. When someone is thirsty, he is lacking. If he's lacking, there is the constant striving and yearning of fulfillment to replenish, to fulfill that shortcoming. So there's the constant desire of water. Or you take the rivers that constantly flow towards the sea. Why? Because the Chazal say that was their source. And the creations constantly yearn to their source in order to fulfill themselves. Now with this, there are many things stated by our sages that we can well understand. For example, when the Almighty created man, he called him Adam. Adam al shem ha'adama, Adam by the name of the earth, which is called ha'adama because he was taken from the earth. Now we can ask a question on this. This is not a very prestigious name. This is a Shem HaMushal. This is a borrowed name. This is the name of the earth. It's not the name of man. Why don't we designate man by a name? When it came to call names to all of the animals and all of the creations, they weren't called by the name of the earth. One was the lion was called the Aryeh, and the bear was called the Dove, and the wolf was called the Ze'ev. And the sages tell us, the Chazal tell us, that Adam Arishon, the first man, he looked into each animal and he saw what their essence was. And he said, your name shall be Aryeh, and your name shall be Dave, and your name shall be Ze'ev. Because Hashem Meira ala Etzim, a name designates the essence of the entity. Man, that was the Nivchar min Hanivroim, the choice of all of the creations, therefore, should certainly have his own name. Kodesh Baruch Hu should look into man and say, this is your name. Instead, he was called by the name of the earth which he came from. Why? And this the Maral explains in the Sefer Tferes Yisrael. Animals were created with their degree of perfection. They do not attain higher levels of perfection during their lifetime. They were created in a certain state and they die in a certain state. In this same state. And therefore it's possible to look into the soul of an animal and say, this is what you are. You're an Aryeh and you're a Dove. But man was created with a great imperfection and with potential of constantly growing and perfecting and fulfilling himself throughout his life. Therefore, you cannot look into man and say, this is what you are. That you can do at the time when he leaves this world, but not when he comes into this world. Because he's at a state of imperfection with a potential to constantly perfect himself more, endlessly. And the name tells us the essence of the person. But there is no essence to man. There's merely potential to man. Therefore, he was not given a name in his own right, but rather he was given the name of the earth. Because the earth also is potential. What is the earth? It depends what you do with it. It depends what you plant. It depends how you toil in it. Therefore, man was called Ho'at Odom, Hashem Ho'adom. Another statement from the sages in Parshas Noach, Ches Posuk Chof Alef. After the flood, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Le'esif le'kalel od, Esa Adoma ba'avuro odom, I will no longer curse man. I will no longer curse earth because of man. Because man's heart was created. The nature of man's heart is evil minu urav from his earliest days, from his youth. Rashi brings that the word minu urav is actually spelled minu orav, which does not mean from his youth, but minu orav mishenina lotzeis mimei imai. But from the first movements he makes. When man first moves from the womb of the mother, then the nature of his heart is evil. From here we learn that the Yetzirah, the evil force in man, enters into him at the time that he moves out of the womb of the mother. The question is asked, why does it enter specifically at that time? The minute he moves out of the womb of the mother, why not before? Why not afterwards? the answer that's given, while he's in the womb of the mother, then he's an incomplete entity. And he's constantly growing and constantly striving for further growth and further fulfillment. At that time, the Yetzirah, the evil force, cannot take hold. Because when something is constantly growing and constantly fulfilling itself, then the influences of good are too good, and the evil force cannot take hold. But once he moves out of the womb of the mother, and he's complete, the growth has ended, and he's complete, he's a person. And at that point, when he's complete, there is not that great striving to further complete oneself. There's a time when the Yetzer Hara, when the force of evil, can enter into man. From here we see again that man was created not as a perfect being. He was created as an imperfect being. But the essence of his life is that where he must constantly strive to further perfect himself. When he does this, then he's on healthy ground. If in his eyes he needs no further development, he needs no further completion, then he's on dangerous ground. That's the time that the Yetzer Hara has the strongest force over a person. In Parshas Ekev, near the end of the parsha, the Torah there brings the second paragraph of the Krishma. In the Devarim Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet, it states as follows: Menosati metar artzeche be'ita yere humalkesh, yosafti digunecha v'sireshcha v'yitzarecha. I will give to you rains in their proper seasons, the earlier rains and the latter rains, and you will gather in all of your crops, and you will gather in your wine and your oil. Benosati eisev besot choli femtecho, and I will give grazing fields for your animals. Vilchalta v'shavoto, and you will eat, and you will be satisfied. You will be full. Hishomru lachem, guard yourselves. Lest your hearts be turned, and you shall turn away from the Almighty and serve gods of others, and you will bow to them. Here, Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, comes and he says, I'm going to give you brocha, I'm going to give you food, I'm going to give you grazing lands, I'm going to give you rains, and you shall eat and you shall be satisfied. Then all of a sudden, Hishomru lachem, guard yourselves, lest you will be turned away, you will be tempted, and you will turn and serve other gods. Why here? Hishomru lachem, guard yourselves. We're not speaking about that. We're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give brocha to people. Rashi tells us, Kiven shitiyu eichlim usfeim, since you will eat and you will be full, Hishomru lachem, guard yourselves, Shaleiti ba'atu, that you shall not rebel against the Almighty. She'ein odem merid ba'akorish baruchu ela b'teich sfiyah. A person does not rebel against the Almighty except when he has plenty and satisfaction. Then Rashi brings another source to this. A little earlier in Parshas Ekev, it states similar. Torah tells us that you are coming into Eretz Yisrael now. You will be coming into a very good land. Eretz nachle moim, ayin eisus ha'emes. Lands of water and springs. Lands of wheat and barley. Of fruits. Leisech sa'kol bay. Land which does not lack anything. Lands which have stones from the stones in the mountains can be hewed out iron and copper. And you will eat and you will be satisfied. And then again the Torah says, guard yourselves. Pentishkach es Hashem Elokecha, lest you will forget the Lord your God. Penteichal v'savoto, lest you will eat and be satisfied. You will have beautiful houses, you will have herds and gold and silver. V'rom levavecha, and you will raise up your hearts, you will become arrogant, v'shochachtes Hashem Elokecha, and you will forget the Almighty. This is also an Ekev in Posuk, Posuk Ches, Perches Posuk Yudbeis. So Rashi tells us, Ein Odom Merid Ba'akodesh Baruch Hu, Ela Miteich Svi.
A person rebels against the Almighty when he's satisfied. And we see from here that if a person has, he has a great deal, and he has gold and he has silver, and he eats and he becomes full, we see firstly this comes to Reimim Misalev, this brings arrogance. Then it comes to Shikhas Alev, he forgets HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Then it comes to Be'ito Merido, where he rebels, he kicks, and he walks away from the Almighty. Why is this? When a person is lacking physically, then he realizes very well that he is not so dependent, so independent as he thought he was. That he is not so perfect as he thought he was. If he's hungry, he has needs. If he has no money, if he has no house to live in, if times are difficult, then he realizes that he's lacking. He realizes he has to come unto others. And through this he sees that he's not the perfect being that he thought he was. If he's not, then he remembers the Almighty. He remembers his source. He remembers the giver of all physical goodness. Through his physical shortcomings, he can realize all of his shortcomings. And he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if a person has gold and he has silver and he has beautiful homes and he has herds and he has grazing lands and he eats with savoto and he's full, he's satisfied. Now he has no physical lacking. He's independent. He's self-reliant. He doesn't need anyone else anymore. Firstly, from this comes berom levavecho, comes arrogance. If you're self-reliant and you don't need anyone anymore, so then it goes to his head. And he's arrogant. He holds himself above others. And from there comes shikhas, shikho, where he forgets the Almighty. He doesn't need the Almighty either anymore. And he forgets where everything came to him from. And from there comes merido, where no longer does he need the Torah, mitzvahs. And therefore, in the Krishna, the second parasha, it states, I will give you all of these things, v'yochalta v'savoto, and you will eat and be satisfied. Hishomru lachem. But this is dangerous. Guard yourselves very carefully. When you have, it's more important to guard yourselves than when you don't have. Because when you don't have, you won't forget me. Because you'll have to keep coming to me to ask for more. But when you do have, then he shomru lachem, then you must guard yourselves very carefully. Then yiftelavarachem, lest your hearts will be enticed. Sartem, and you'll turn your backs on me. Davartem elim acherim, and you'll turn to other gods. Pishtachavis elohem. So from here, Rashi tells us that this is a very, very important lesson. She'ein odem meirid, elam itekes tefiyah. Kodesh Bo, a person rebels against the Almighty, not when he's hungry. He rebels against the Almighty when his stomach is full. When it comes to a king of flesh and blood, it's not always like that. Many times revolutions take place when the people's stomachs are empty, because they have the complaints, they want a change of government. So it's not always like that. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a danger point when a person is full. Because no longer does he need anyone anymore, not even the Almighty. And then his heart is enticed away and he looks in other directions. And from here comes Merida, where he rebels from the Almighty. Now this is the principle that we're saying. When a person is in need, then he realizes what kind of creation he is. He's not a whole man, he's a half a man. And if he's a half a man, then he needs someone to lean on. And he needs the Almighty. He needs the Almighty to sustain him. He needs him to send him a refuah shleima of health. He needs him to give him wisdom. He needs him for everything. So he leans on the Almighty, he turns to him. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours his blessings on the person, and he eats with Savato, and he becomes full, then no longer does he have a need. He becomes arrogant, doesn't need society that much anymore either. He forgets his friends, and he forgets his creator. And he turns his back on his creator and goes off in other directions. Therefore, right there, the Torah warns us. Not when we're poor, did the Torah say, Yishomru lachem. When you're wealthy and affluent, there it states, Yishomru lachem, guard yourselves closely. Very briefly, this also is the underlying principle in tefillah, in prayer. The Gemara states in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Beis Omer Aleph, Omer Reb Shimon Hasido. Reb Shimon Hasido said, "Hamispalo sorek shiyira atzmei ki ilu shchino kinegdoi." When a person is mispalo, when a person prays, how should he see himself when he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for tefillah, for prayer? How should he look at himself? The Gemara says, "Yireh atzmei kilu shchina kenegdoi." He must look at himself as if the Shekhinah, as if the Almighty is just opposite him. Shneimar, as it states, "Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tomid." And David HaMelech said that I place HaKadosh Baruch Hu always opposite me. And why is this? Maral brings in the Siva Aveda Perek Vok, because the essence of prayer, and this is very important, the essence of prayer is the hischabrus, is the joining of the servant to the master. The essence of prayer is when one joins himself to his creator, to his master. And this was shown to us, the Gemara brings in Yuma Daf Nun Dalet, Omer Aleph, that in the Beis Hamikdash, by the Olam HaKodesh, there were two kruvim. There were two images. In the Beis Hamikdash, by the Aron HaKodesh, where the Sefer Torah was kept, and the Luchos, the tablets, there were two kruvim, two images. The sages say one represented the Almighty, and the other represented Israel. And there were the images of a Zohar and a Kevar, a male and a female. And when Klal Yisrael would come up to Yerushalayim during the regel, during the Yom Tov, they would open the curtains and they would show how they had, through a miracle, they had turned towards each other. And they would say, see the great endearment and love that you have by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like the love between a male and a female. They turn to each other. And so is it when Klal Yisrael comes to Tfilah. The essence of the Tfilah is the attachment. That he attaches himself, he joins himself to the Creator, who fulfills all of his lackings, all of his needs. Just as the nekeva to the zohar, that the female comes to the male. Therefore, the Chazal say, David HaMelech writes, Tfila la'oni, the greatest prayer is the prayer of a poor man. Why? Because the driving force of this attachment is need. The greatest need is by the poor man. The wealthy man comes and he has everything. And he's full and he's satisfied. There is no force to drive him to his Creator. He lacks nothing. There is no need. And if there is no need, there is no attachment. If there is no attachment, then this is not tefillah. Therefore, David HaMelech, many times when he appeals to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he appeals to him in the language of Tfilah La'oni. This is a prayer from a poor man, from a man who is poor and down, with great need. And therefore, he is coming to his master to replenish this need. This is brought out in a Medrash. The Medrash states, why were the matriarchs a chorus? Why were they buried? We find my Sora was many, many years before she was able to give birth, and even then only through a miracle. And I find my Rivka many, many years before she was able to give birth. And we find my Rochel. Why should it be that way? Why were they buried? And the Medrash answers, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kulam knows. They're all beautiful. The Kulam Ashiris, they're all wealthy. The others, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are very, very wealthy. If they would have children also, then what would they need me for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu misave litfilosum shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearns for the prayer of his righteous. They'll have nothing to come to me for prayer for. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearn for the prayers of his righteous? Not that he needs the prayers, he needs the attachment. So therefore he made them akoros. He made them barren. Now there was a great need. Now there was an oni. It was a tefillah la'oni. This brought them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this also very concisely is one of the reasons What the Almighty brings, the Gemara says, Yisurin. What the Almighty brings, infliction upon a person. For example, the Medrash says in Parshas Bishalach, that when Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt, and they went to the Yam, they went to the sea, Upare Hikriv, and they looked back, and they saw Pare Hikriv, Pare was coming close with his army, and they saw the sea in front of them, and to the sides they saw the wilderness without wild animals, and they lifted up their heads to heaven, and they cried to the Almighty. So the Medrash says, Upare Hikriv. Not that Pare brought himself close. Pare Hikriv Yisrael Avim Shebishamai. Pare brought Yisrael close to their fathers in heaven. To their father in heaven. And it states that Pare at that time did more for Yisrael than Kuft Semes, than 100 fast days. Because when they saw in front of them was the sea, and behind them was Pare, and the wilderness was to each side, then they could not look ahead, and they could not look back, and they could not look to the right or to the left. So they were forced to look only in one direction. They were forced only to look only upward. And this was done through Pare. So from here we see that many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings affliction to a person in order to get him to look upward. Because if he is not afflicted, if everything is good, and he has no needs, so why will he come to the Almighty? So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him needs, gives him problems, in order that he should turn to him. And this is what Rabbi Akiva said in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Chavivin Yesurin, that even if a person suffers, he said, don't feel badly about it, because suffering can be very dear. Through sufferings, people can come to higher heights of growth and higher heights of recognition of the Almighty and attachment to the Almighty than would have been impossible through years and years of living. And therefore, Rebbe Akiva said, Habibina Yisurin, a person shouldn't look for Yisurin, he shouldn't look for affliction. But if it comes upon a person, it's Habibin, it's something which can be very dear. And this is the degree, the level of what the sages refer to as an Eved Lemelech, a servant who comes to his master. One of the ways we are obligated to serve the Almighty is as a servant coming to his master. As it states, V'korveinu malkeinu l'avedei secho, that our king should bring us close to him in our avoda, in our service to him, as a servant. How does a servant come to his master? A servant is an entity which is totally, totally reliant upon the master. The Gemara says, Mashakon Eved Kon Arabi, a servant has no entity on his own whatsoever, a slave. He is totally owned by his master. Therefore, he is totally independent, totally dependent, totally reliant. Therefore, he comes to his master for all needs. And this is how we are commanded, that we must also come to the Almighty. Therefore, when we face the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in prayer, in tefillah, one should not think that it's not good to ask for everything. To the contrary, from the fact that we are in need, We go to the Almighty. This is a declaration to ourselves that He is the one that replenishes our needs. He is the one that fulfills our shortcomings. This is the attachment. Just as the Eved to the Rabbi, the servant to the master. In accordance to what we said, it's possible, therefore, that sometimes a brocha of Gashmias, sometimes physical abundance, might not be a brocha, might not be a blessing. The fact is, sometimes it could be a curse. And we find this. It states that the creation of the world, when the serpent tried to entice Chava, the first woman, and he enticed her to eat from the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, the Almighty cursed the serpent. One of the curses that he gave him was that he should eat offer. Al Gechencho, he should crawl on his stomach and eat offer, dust. The Gemara asks, but we see that the serpent does not eat dust. We see he eats food, he eats rodents, he eats other things. So the Gemara, in one opinion, says that everything should taste like dust to him. That's one opinion. Second opinion says no. That actually, the curse was is that he should eat dust. Now, the question is asked, if you say that the curse was that he should eat dust, what kind of curse is that? It comes out that he has easier panosa than everyone else. Everyone else has difficulty looking for his panosa. And the serpent, he has no difficulty whatsoever finding his panosa. So what kind of curse is that? I once heard in the name of the Kotzker that the answer to this is we think that if panosa is not plentiful, that's bad. And if we have to constantly knock at the doors of heaven for panosa, this is not good. And he says it's to the contrary. He said, I'll give you an example. Let's say there was a father, a wealthy man, and he has several sons. One son he loves, and the other son he cannot stand. So one son, he says, to the son that he cannot stand, he says, look, I'm going to give you a large sum of money. Here, I'm going to give you 100,000 rand. Take it and leave. Take it and leave, and don't ever come to me again. To the son he loves, he says, I'm not giving you anything. Whatever you need, when you need it, you come to me and I'll give it to you. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so did HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. To the creatures which he loved, he said, you need parnoso, so you come and ask me. Whenever you need, come and ask, and I'll give you what's good for you. To the nochash, to the serpent that he cursed and said, that because what you did, you will be cursed of all of the animals. He says, here, take your parnoso and clear out. Don't come to me anymore. And he gave him offer where he could find all of the time. So the Kotzke answered, you shouldn't think that if panos is plentiful, then this is a brocha. And you have to bang at the doors of heaven for panos. This is not good. It could be just to the contrary. It could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's giving you so much where he doesn't want to have anything to do with you. Now this in general we must learn. That not everything that to us might seem brocha is necessarily a brocha. And therefore it must be utilized very carefully. It comes out like this. man was created not perfect. Not like many people think. But Bedafke, with intent, he was created as an imperfect being. And with a nature that constantly strives to fulfill his shortcomings. This is the essence of man's life. This was shown to the world when the Almighty said, "Leitein heyesu odem levadoi," it is not good for man to be alone. "Esa leyesa gedegdei," I will make for him a helpmate. So Rashi explains for the Medrash why. Because if man is alone, then people will say he's the king of a world, because the king is alone. And then the Shtei Rishuyis, there are two kings, there's the Almighty in the higher worlds and man over the earth. Because someone who can exist alone means that he's totally perfect, he's totally self-reliant, and he needs no one else or nothing else. And only the Almighty is totally perfect. Only the Almighty is totally self-reliant. He does not rely on anything else in the world, and the entire world relies on him. So if man also was created single, then people will say, Shnei Rishuyis, there are two perfect beings in the world, and this cannot be. Therefore, he was given a helpmate to show that he is imperfect. And one needs the other. And one leans on the other. And together they make an entity. But each one is imperfect. Now, he was given this imperfection in order that he would be able to constantly strive to perfect himself in this world. And he seeks his source. Just like water constantly seeks their source. Or a man who's thirsty constantly looks for water. And this is his life. If man is complacent, man thinks he's complete, then he's at a very dangerous period of life. And he'll start to decay. Just like if you have water that's constantly running towards its source, then it's live water. If the water stops and becomes stagnant, it decays. Then he will decay. He will retard. Everything that's alive must grow. And as long as man is living, he must constantly grow to new heights. If man is physically hungry, then this constantly reminds him what an imperfect being he is. And it reminds him that not only does he need food, but he relies on the Almighty for everything. If man is full, he's satisfied, then no longer does he look at the Almighty. He doesn't look at other people either. He becomes arrogant. He forgets the Almighty. He's made it. He turns his back on the Almighty. And this brings destruction to him. And where do we learn this from? We learn this from the fact that the Almighty created a wife for man. From the fact that he has to come to his wife for his needs, for his perfection, his hashlomo, and then both of them together strive to further perfection as they seek their source. This is where we learn it from. This is why the Chazal say, the David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech always compared the Torah to an isha, to a woman. Because just like man seeks to perfect his shortcomings through his wife, so is the Torah and the mitzvah is the ultimate perfection of man. And that's why we find in the Sefer Mishlei and in other places, Shahatorah Nimshla Leisha. The Torah is compared to a woman. In our generation, in our time now, we are suffering from two great dangers which are related to what we're speaking about. One is in regards to youth. We live in a society of excess. Well, we suffer not from diseases which come from shortages, but from diseases which come from excess. This is the society of the Western grocer. Youth are brought up in our affluent society never to know what need is, never to know what lacking is, never to know what shortcoming is. They are overly protected, overly sheltered, overly pampered, and everything physical that their parents or grandparents did not have, or it took them 40, 50 years of hard work to attain, are showered on youth anywhere from 5 years old to 25 years old. And when it came to parents and grandparents, when at 10 years old or 12 years old, they had to go out in order to fulfill their shortcomings, our youth are given a protective society till 25 or 26 years old on the university campuses. Now this is the v'achalta v'shamata. They eat and they become full, and they know of no need. It's not the youth to be criticized for this. It's the ones who have created such a society. What comes from this? Comes complaints. Comes from this a lack of drive, a lack of ambition, a physical complacency, a spiritual complacency. And from here sets in a deterioration and a decay. The essence of life is growth, because man was not created like animals who were given their spiritual height at the time they were created. The essence of life is growth. And if a person is not growing, if he's not reaching, if he's not yearning, then he's not living. And decay sets in. And this is why we come to a society that many have lost ambition, many have lost drive, many have lost the direction. Rishochachto, they don't need the Almighty. Sad them, they turn away, and they reach out Elohim Achelim for all different types of cults and movements. And this is what our Chazal warned us of. Hishomru lochem. You must guard yourself in this point. The Chazal said that the one who has more must constantly thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. Kol haneshomah tehalel ko. That you must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kol neshima o neshima on every breath He gives you. If a person is zocho, his merits, where he's given physical blessings, then he must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more. And this way he creates his attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like Leah when she had Yehuda, a fourth son. She says, Apam Eidel Hashem, now I must praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than before. Because if I have four sons, so I have now more than my share. Yaakov was to have 12 sons from four wives. When I had three, I had my share. When she had Yehuda, she praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more. And she did more than she did before. Because she said, now I have more than my share. And that's why Yehuda was called in the name of Hador of thanks and praise. This is one problem. And this is a very, very serious problem. Because we see the society that's developing from this. If a person has no physical needs, then he cannot recognize his spiritual needs. And if he has no physical yearning, he will not have a spiritual yearning. And there will be complacency, loss of ambition, and decay. This is one problem. The second problem we have in our modern society is from the other end of the pole. And that is not from the youth, but from the aged. And we're not referring here to necessarily people who are 80 or 90 years old. When Western culture speaks of retirement, they're referring to people already 45, 50, 55 years old. It has been hammered into Western society that to have needs is not good. To be in a position where you must work is not a good situation. It's better if you can organize yourself financially with proper businesses and proper retirement plans, proper insurance plans, that you can retire from work and all your needs will be taken care of at an early age. Early age, you'll retire, you'll go to Muizenberg, you'll go to Israel, you'll go overseas and retire. This is drummed into modern society from a young age. So it comes out that one of the great motivators for young people to work is in order to save. To save in order that they can stop working. And this is the way our life goes. They're missing a very important factor. What will the person do when he retires? What is he going to do then? All of his needs are taken care of. What will he do then? Chazal tell us. Sages tell us, you know who someone that all his needs are taken care of. Sages say that's the Mesim in the Mesach Forest. The dead in the cemetery. There their needs are taken care of. Mesim chofshi min ha-mitzvos. Says the dead are free from their yoke. But the living were granted the privilege of having a yoke. To have needs in order to create a reason for further growth, for further work, for further ambition. This is the essence of life. Once there's a complacency, this is the Beisak Forest. This is the cemetery. There are no needs anymore. Man was created imperfect in order that every minute of his life he should strive for greater perfection. It didn't say that man was created imperfect in order for 40 years he should strive for greater perfection, and the next 40 years he remains idle. Gemara tells us, Tamid Chachomim, Kol Zman Shemaskinim, Chochmas and Mesifim. The Talmid HaChomim, the older they become, the greater their wisdom becomes. Some of their greatest growth are in their last days. Yet psychologically it's been drummed into Western society that to reach, to yearn, this is a yoke that we must get rid of, and the faster the better, and then we will enjoy life. And then unfortunately, tragically, you see people, when they do stop growing, when they do retire, they become vegetables. Because they are destroying the very life in themselves. Once there is no need for them, or they have no needs, then there's no life left in them. And this is why when people stop working, so many tragic things happen. This is a second plague that comes from the society of the Western culture that we live in. And this is contrary to the very creation of the world. Rosh Hashanah is the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. And it's the time for one to look at himself and to try to understand what is this man that the Almighty created. And Rosh Hashanah is the time when we declare the Malchus of Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the King of the world. And Hayom Haras Eilam, we bring back the time when He created man and He ruled over the world. And Rosh Hashanah is also the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives new forces, new powers to man. But man must grow every year, and every year to greater heights. This was the great schus that was given to man. So therefore man must remember, he was not given a name at creation, even though all of the animals and the beasts were. Because the spiritual height which they, that was destined for them, they were created with. Therefore a name was given to them. But the spiritual height that was destined for man was not decreed. This was left open. And therefore no name can be given to man, because we don't know what height he will attain. But he was created specifically not perfect, in order he should constantly seek his perfection all of the days of his life. What does this tell us? This tells us that as long as a man is alive, as long as he's breathing, he was given the schools, the opportunity to further perfect himself, to reach out further. And this is done through coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his Torah and his mitzvahs. And as long as there's a breath of life in him, he has this capability of doing this to ever greater heights. This is the essence of life. May we all be zecher to see constant growth and greater growth of all called Israel through the perfection of Torah and mitzvahs and coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And may we see a year of Aksiva V'Chasima Tova, where we'll all be inscribed in the Book of Life. We should see shalom, peace, here in South Africa, and in Kol Yisrael, and in the entire world. Amen.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.